What I've left behind, you want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Michelle Bless, is that you, my love? I don't know.
Hello?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Michelle, is that you?
No, this is Elizabeth Knight. 563-212-8588.
Yeah, who am I speaking to?
Elizabeth Knight.
Patricia?
Elizabeth Patricia. Knight.
Oh, okay, hold on a second. I'm confused here because there's too many people trying to run the show tonight, and I came in first. Now, okay, so you're Elizabeth. Okay. Now, what we need then is for our guest to show up. So that's why when you said Patricia or whatever you said, I thought you were the guest. Sorry about that. And then I thought you were a friend of mine. And, well, now you're Elizabeth. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm aware of Patricia.
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm from New Jersey. I'm the vice president here. And we're waiting for Patricia McKnight. A lot of people know her. She's from Breezy, Illinois, a returning NASCA family member. And she's doing a whole bunch of things, and I wanted to get her on. She's due to come on tonight. So when I saw your number, and I didn't quite recognize it, except for the 212. I have a friend that lives in 212. That's New York. So I thought you were her, and you're not her either. So I'm waiting for Trish to come on. But if she doesn't,
I'm presently waiting. I'm presently waiting for Patricia. I'm from Illinois.
Oh, you're waiting for her? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'm presently from Illinois.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Tassie, I've never spoken to you before. Do you think she's coming on tonight? She's a little late. That's the only reason why I'm asking.
Love, I don't know. I don't have her schedule of a documentation. But I seen where she was going to be on tonight, and I'm aware of Patricia. And I've done a lot of things in Illinois. I'd like to speak with her personally.
Well, I had emailed her. I even went on her site last night and emailed her. Let's see if maybe something's come up. Sometimes things are happening, especially in the world that we're living in tonight and today.
I agree.
Let me read a little bit. Yes. Let me read a little bit about what she does, and we'll see if she comes on. Otherwise, we're going to have – I always have topics. Look, it's child abuse. There's so much to talk about. And we have Kim here. Kim is here. And we have Annie. And there's myself. There's yourself. We're going to have our own show, no problem. Okay, so tonight's special guest is Patricia, or is supposed to be Patricia. We call her Trish McKnight, and she's from Breezy, Idaho, Illinois, and she's a returning NASCA family member. And today I am 1,000 miles away from the person my parents created in their forced slavery, destructive neglect, and constant violence type fueled by mental illness and substance abuse. I don't really like reading her whole bio because when a person comes on the show, okay, and they tell their story, I like them to tell it in their own way, you know what I'm saying, and in their own voice because – the bio is a good thing to have in front of you, especially when I'm vice president and I like to have my information right in front of me. And I can always go to it and take things out of the bio, which is a good thing to do and to have. But when people come on to tell their story, you know, a lot of times it's their first time, all right? Some people are really scared. And I just want people out there to understand whether you're male or female. And we have been getting a lot more guys coming on to tell his story. This is delightful. This is great. Because, quite frankly, they go through the same type of things that we go through as little girls, you know, and we have the same feelings as we're growing up. But they have to stay stifled, okay, because they're a guy. They have to be macho, right? So we're having a lot of men come on, too, now, and I just want to thank those guys out there that have come on. I'm proud of them, and I know there's men listening right now, and in fact, I know who's listening. So I just want to say if you know of anyone, okay, who needs to tell his story, this is the platform to do it. This is a very good platform here at NASCA, and we do that on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So what we can do, all right, first of all, I'm going to read the mission statement, which might tell people a little bit of something about NASCA, and we'll see if Trish, you know, shows up. Do you have her number in front of you by any chance, Elizabeth? Do you know how to contact her?
No, I don't. I really don't. I apologize. I regret the fact that I don't have her contact.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, no problem. So, all right. I don't know. I'm again, the world that we live in, at times people are having problems and they just can't make it to the show, and that's okay. So we have a lot to talk about anyway. Let me read the mission statement. And first of all, we do have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that does affect everyone. I like to stop there for a second because people don't realize how child abuse affects them. If it's not in their family, and if they happen to not have friends who have child abuse in their family, they wouldn't know how it affects children. But I can tell you this, because I've worked many places. They've all been social services. I'm fingerprinted from this part of New Jersey all the way down to south part of New Jersey. I couldn't go out and do anything wrong, Elizabeth. Oh, no, I couldn't, because they'd find me working with kids and so forth. But the point is that when kids come from a dysfunctional home, when they come from a dysfunctional home, they're not going to grow up and be a normal kid. It's as simple as that. And a lot of these kids that you see, I don't mean with the terroristic things that are going on our streets right now, although there might be some of those involved with that too, kids that are coming out of their own homes and just joining in with the looting and all this other stuff that we're going through. But when a kid in a normal situation before all this took place, comes from a dysfunctional home, many times they do, they do crimes. When I worked in detention center, we had kids that committed adult crimes. We had police officers there. And a lot of times they did B&Es, breaking and entry. So don't think that it doesn't bother you or it's not going to bother you, okay? A lot of times they get into alcohol and drug abuse and all this other stuff. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So there's so many things that unfortunately our children do get involved in. And if they come from dysfunctional homes where they're not having, you know, the proper guidance, the proper nurturing, what mommy and daddy are supposed to do in their nurturing areas, they're going to make a lot of mistakes. So when I read that statement, okay, it affects everyone, worldwide problem that affects everyone. A lot of times those kids are out on the street because they're running away from home, because they're being abused, or maybe they're just out on the streets and they're creating havoc. So keep that in mind. All right. Number two, offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, if you go to our website, which I was giving out today, it's NASCA, NAASCA.org. That's NASCA.org. And you'll see so much on that website, okay, that you can open up the links. It teaches you how to speak to children, why we should speak to our children, and the bond that parents can have and children can have with their parents, because it's not just stranger danger. It just simply isn't. Stranger danger is only like 10%, all right? A lot of the abuse happens right in the home, and people don't like thinking about that, but that's the truth. And then you have abuses, you know, outside of the home, this bullying, all kinds of stuff. This is the things that make up, you know, a kid. A kid has to go through who is going through a very rough time in their life. And if they don't get the help that they need, many times they turn to alcohol and drugs to try to kill that pain. I know I certainly did. And I'm only one of many, many survivors on this show, okay? By the way, this is scan number 2813. So that shows you how many shows we've done on the Stop Child Abuse Now show. That's 2,813, okay? So, again, what we do is we offer hope for healing through numerous paths. You will find on the website, if you look at it, you scroll it down a little bit, you'll see run lines that go across. And in those lines, the first one on the left-hand side are programs. And you would be shocked at how many programs there are for people who have been abused as children, who grew up dysfunctional themselves, and who need help, okay? On the night owl, I receive a lot of telephone calls in the AM hours when people don't want to be up. I'm up. I'm used to working night shifts and so forth. It doesn't bother me. And many times, I send them to the programs. So if ever you feel like you want to join a program where you can communicate with other people that are the same as we are, all right, you are not alone. Go to the program page. Click onto it. You'll see a picture of the world spinning around. And that world shows that we are worldwide. When we say National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, or short, NASCA, okay, we've gone surpassed that. We are worldwide. We have people that have called in from down under, from Vietnam, all different places, from Great Britain, you name it, they've called in from all different places. We're worldwide. So I just want people to know that if they go onto that program page, you'll go to your state. That's what you do. I'm from New Jersey right now. It's more New York. But, okay, I'm in New Jersey, so I would go to New Jersey, and I would look for a town closest to my town that I'm living in. And it's just like when you hear about shelters. You're not going to see a sign outside, shelters for those who are being involved, that are involved in domestic violence. They hide it to keep the people safe. And this is also like these groups, it's like an AA type of thing. You don't have a sign outside that's going to say AA or whatever. This is supposed to be anonymous. So, you know, when you find these groups, everyone inside of those groups come from backgrounds like we do. I just want to make that clear, okay? They come, and that's just the way it is. So that way you meet people, you don't feel alone anymore. You can make contacts that way. And many times there are counselors there, and who can guide you, can help you do goal planning to get you out of the rut that you're in. And that is so, so, so important, okay, to get out of the rut that you're in. So there's just so much that NASCA does for people that I could take up 2 hours talking about it, which I'm not going to do. But I do want to say that tonight we have Annie from California. She's new to NASCA. She's, in fact, she's my co-host tonight. Yes, she is. I'm going to call her my co-host. We have other names. We call them trailers. And when people come on the show, she contacts that person and gets them on the show. Then we have Kim Lakin, and she's from Colorado. And she's a NASCA member for quite a while. And we have Elizabeth, okay? So we have enough people here. What would you, any of you, I'm going to start out. Let me start out with Kim, okay? Is there something you'd like to talk about tonight? Since Patricia, I don't think she's going to make it. I hope nothing bad happened to her. Kim, is there something you'd like to speak about? Are you there? Her mic is open. All right. We'll go to someone else. Elizabeth, how about you? Is there something you'd like to speak about?
Evening, my relative. Can you hear me?
I'm having a hard time hearing you. You sound very muffled.
Evening, my relative. May you hear me?
Let me ask you something. Do you have your speaker on?
No, 1 second.
Yeah.
Evening, my relative. May you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's still a little bit muffled. See, when people keep their speakers on, yeah, that messes up with Blog Talk. I really don't know why, but it does. So anyone that has their speaker on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you better. Let me give out the telephone number here, too. Hold on a second, then I'll get back to you. Hold a second. The telephone number here is 646-595-2118. Now, we're going to have a general topic night tonight, and I have a lot of stuff here to talk about, too, because I always do a lot of research on what we need to speak about. But if you want to call in and be a part of this conversation, or if you want to listen through your computer, that's fine, too. We have a lot of people that listen through their computer. Or we have those people that just simply call the designated number, on the front page of the website, the 646-595-2118. And they can either stay quiet or they can be a part of the panel, okay? This is an easy show to do, people. If you can talk on the phone, you can do a show, and you're helping a lot of people. So, is there anyone here that has something they'd like to talk about? And then we'll get into the holidays because this is the worst time of the year for survivors. And then also, too, I have some rates that I want to speak about, you know, in 2017 up to this date, you know, of child abuse and what's happening here. But so did you say you had something you'd like to talk about, Elizabeth, or do you want to listen? What do you want to do?
Yes, but I need to know the correct number and dialogue that I need to contact so everybody can hear me live.
Still can't quite hear you. That's bad.
I need a number where I can call in where everybody can hear me live.
Oh, you need like, you mean like on the contact list, someone you speak to later?
No, presently.
Well, you're on the show.
Oh,
I don't know if you realize
that. Hello. Hello, Barmaid. Hello, all my people universal.
Yeah.
May I
you're
reach
on the
you
show.
For the holidays?
Yes. Okay, let's speak about the holidays, and then we'll go to Kim, and we'll talk about holidays, and we'll talk about Annie, and then I have a lot to talk about with holidays. Let me ask you something. The holidays are coming. All right, they're right around the corner, okay? Some people have already had some of their holidays. There's all different kinds of religions, we know this. But if you have an abusive person, say you have to go to a party. Parties are coming up, right? So you have to go to a party, and one of your abusers happens to be at that party. One of the main questions when I do presentations, and it's around, this time of the year, people will say, do you think I should go or should I stay home? Because they know they're going to see that person. How do you feel about that?
Wow. I would go presently.
Yeah.
I would not be ashamed of who I am, my identity, and what was done to me by the abuser that said something false about me. And I would stand my ground. I would stand as who I am, with the Patsanta of my birth. And I would stand there. I would not leave. I would go. Because I feel like my presence is needed, because you abused and said things about me that were not false. And were not truth, and that they were false. And I'm standing my ground. Because I am not who you are identifying me as to the people that I'm around in my environment.
That's good. I like that. I like that. You'd be shocked how many people ask me, because, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard for people to, you know, to face a lot of times their abuser without wanting to hit them in the head or something. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I've been through that. I've gone through that. And we all have gone through that. Many of us have gone through that. And it's not an easy thing, you know, to face someone, say, who sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally abused you, okay, or neglected, whatever the case might be. And I like the way you just said that, because, you see, we can't let it define us. We can't change the past, Elizabeth, you know, what happened to us. We can't do that.
That's right.
So what we can do, though, is change ourselves. Like, okay, you stood your ground. You say you would stand your ground, and it wouldn't keep you home. And I think that that's really very, very strong and very good, okay? I don't know how long you've been on your healing journey, but that's something someone would say, you know, who's well on to their healing journey.
I was six years old when I was 6 years old when my journey started.
Mhm. Well, you know, a lot of people don't get over stuff like that, and they stay in a rut. And don't get me wrong, a lot of us have had terrible pasts where we were abused many times. It doesn't matter if it's one time, or if it's 10 times, or if it's 100 times. It doesn't matter exactly if we were, like, say, trafficked out. A lot of times we're trafficked out, holy Christopher, or we run away, say, like we're in the foster care. And we end up out on the street because we're being abused even in foster care. That's happened too, okay? That happens a lot. And that's when the pimps get a hold of them. Now, going back to the family structure where kids are supposed to be, you know, feeling loved and nurtured and safe. That's the word I'm looking for, huh? Feeling safe.
Yeah.
A lot of times, unfortunately, that's not a safe place, because their abuser, one of their abusers, many times there's more than one, it can be inside, outside the home, which is what I went through, but they're going to be there. And I remember my brother was my abuser, and they always set up the tables in such a way that he and I were going to sit across from each other. Oh, that used to make me so mad. Okay. I wanted to kick him under the table, all right? And as I got a little bit older, I did actually say to him, hey, do you remember way back when, because years had gone by and we were separated, I didn't see him for years, thank God. But I said to him, do you remember those times? And he said to me, you liked it. Oh, I liked it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked for it. He started when I was 9 years old, and by the time I was 14, openly raped me. I don't think there was any time in there that I liked it. So you see, being across from the abuser was it made me very angry. It made me very mad. I think you can tell him by the sound of my voice, okay? I think I was a kid more like you, because I knew it wasn't my fault. I didn't feel ashamed. because he's the one that was, you know, bothering me. And I knew that what he was doing was wrong. But there was no family member that I could go to that would help me. So you see, there's a lot of me's out there. And the very fact that you came out with the comment that you did, that you would go, you know, to the family function, and you're not going to let them, I think you used also the word define who you are, and you're going to stand your ground, that shows strength. And I think that's very good. Let me go up to Annie up here. Annie, okay. You had similar experiences too. Yeah, you did.
Yes. Indeed.
If you had to go to a party, and parties are coming up, right? If you had to go to a party or someone in your family abused you, would you go or would you stay home?
Well, happily, my abusers are deceased now, happy for me. However, I went to parties my whole life at my mother's house, and I saw my dad, and I basically never spoke to him. I just was totally the silent treatment. I did not speak to him. I sort of pretended like he wasn't there. It seems odd now, like, wouldn't anybody say something to me, like, why are you doing that? But nobody ever did, and I just ignored him. But I have to say that once on a holiday, he let his robe fall open in front of me. I was in my 50s, so he never changed. He never changed. So, but, yeah, I did. I went to the holidays.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I went, too. Now, it's about a 50-50 type of thing because a lot of people will say, I stay home, and then I say to myself, boy, that's like them winning, in a sense. That's the way I look at it. Because you're staying away from them, okay, and you're not enjoying yourself. You're not allowed to go to a family function or something because they still have that hold on you. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing, Annie. So you too. See, the three of us are the same on that. That's good. That's good. However, some people cannot. And I don't hold it against them, believe me. They can't face seeing their abusers because it triggers them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It triggers them. And they don't know what to do with those feelings, except some people go in another room and start to cry, and that's unfortunate. Their Christmas or their Easter or whatever they're going to, whatever the party is, or Hanukkah or whatever, Kwanzaa, whatever they're going to, whatever. You know, the point is it's been ruined because that person is still ruining and ruling, I should say, their life. And that's a shame. That's a shame. But I don't hold it against those people. So I had run a presentation one night over at the college that I was doing a lot of work at, Centenary College, Centenary University. And that was one of the questions that was posed to me by this young lady. And so I had people hold up their hands, how many would go and how many would stay home. And unfortunately, the ones that were going to stay home won out. Not by a huge margin, but still in all, they won. So you see, this is how it affects us too, because you guys know, I don't have to tell you, you're on your healing journeys, you know this. You know, these people have such a terrible effect on our lives that if we don't take control, this is how, when I say we can change ourselves, okay, how we feel about it. I mean, what you said, Elizabeth, was very good, okay, and you're very stern in that, and that's very good. And Annie, you also, and myself as well, at this point in my life, certainly. I would face any of them. I don't care who they are. I would face them and see what they have to say. So, you know, people are listening, you know, out there right now. And I just hope that, I really hope that you can, if you're not strong enough now, to, you know, to reach that point, you know, I do hope that, number one, you're getting help. You have to get help. I got help. I got mine, believe it or not, because it's going to make you laugh, from a Catholic church. And we had a big prayer group. I mean, over 200 people type of prayer group, okay? That's huge. And they're the ones that actually helped me, because there were counselors there. I wasn't a counselor yet. They were counselors. And they came in, and they did a battery of tests on me and worked with me for a while. And I learned, gee, I'm not stupid. I'm not crazy, all right? All the things that we're told as a child when we're growing up in a house of dysfunction. Seems like they always have to pick on one or two kids, right? And, of course, whether it be sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally, or neglected, whatever the case might be. And the more cases you go into, you know, where you suffer from all those many things, that's where the complex PTSD does come in. Because somebody asked me the other day, what's the difference between PTSD and complex PTSD? And I was able to tell them that if you're abused over and over, time and time again, okay, then that's where the complex PTSD does come in, and that is harder to heal from. But you can heal if you get help. So when those guys were done with me, that was the best high that I ever had in my life. Because I found out I wasn't stupid, I wasn't crazy, I am a person of worth. And all the things that we thought we were not, we were. And many of us are talented too, okay? Many of us are talented. And I used to be a runner. I was very heavy in athletics and won awards for it. Used to jump the hurdles. They put me on the boys' baseball team. Boy, I didn't last long. No. They didn't want me on the boys' baseball team. Trust me. They were throwing the ball even harder. A couple times it almost hit me. And get me away from here. I went back to the softball team with the girls, and they just had to learn how to deal with me. That's it. You know. Okay. So I was very gifted that way, and then also musically. So we have ways that we find out once we're on our healing journey that, you know, especially, that we have certain things that we do well at. Annie, let me ask you something. How do you feel yourself about yourself today than, say, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, hugely different. I'm truly a different person than I was, because I had such terrible social anxiety. I couldn't have friends. I couldn't go to social events. I couldn't even talk to neighbors. I was absolutely terrified. I could never have done something like this. I've changed so much. I have courage, and now I have some self-esteem, which I didn't have before, and that makes it easier to be with people because I'm not ashamed anymore.
Right, right. Well, I'm so happy to hear that. So happy to hear that. And
thank you.
How about with you? Yeah, Elizabeth, how about with you? I mean, say, look back 10, 15 years ago.
Compare it
as to today. Yeah, tell us about it.
Can you hear me? 15 years ago?
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
I was beat up by the police department. My granddaughter with Asian hands was taken from us, removed from our family. I was falsely arrested. The Attorney General Lisa Madigan done an illegal violation of my Bill of Rights to make me go under a psychiatric treatment. And the doctor finds that I was nothing was wrong with me. It was the misbehaving police department and the county that was attacking me over my grandchild that was born with Agent Orange. I presented this to Barack Obama, and Barack Obama he recognized me as the woman that speaks out about Agent Orange. And my granddaughter was born with that. I had a child born in 1977 with Agent Orange, and then my daughter had a child born in 2007 with Agent Orange. And I, as a crime victim myself, my daughter was a crime victim of a school janitor. There was multiple things in my life that I really, they put a gag order on me. I wasn't able to speak about what happened to me. I have dealt with the United States criminal justice system. There's a lot of things that was done to me was unjustifiable acts that the government should have never allowed. And now we, the women, and the women of America need to do a declaration, a proclamation of a new treaty act or a new recovery act or restitutional act for all women and children that were violated in the criminal justice system, was taken away from our families without due process, without any probable cause or any injured party under uniform commercial code laws, under a contract that is dealt with the United States government, that we are underneath the contract with the state. When you put your money in the United States for your license, you are under contract with the Secretary of State. That gives you rights underneath the Constitution, Bill of Rights, that should never and have ever been violated in this country and is still today being violated. I will speak out against the government. I will speak out against you or anyone that brings this against me as American Native, that you come up on our soil and you sign a treaty with my people to protect and serve and honor us. And now what is going on today? We have no rights. You have no rights. I have no rights. No one has any rights because the government, the United States government, has violated the United States constitutional rights that was signed in Congress to protect we, the people of the United States of America, color, creed, national origin. And I, Elizabeth Gaskins Knight, expect for the government and to give us witness of the matter of what you have done to the treaty. You violate that, and you know, to serve and protect the people, serve and protect the elderly, serve and protect the children, serve and protect the whole United States. People, you are here, have a duty to owe that underneath the precepts, rules of law, of the Ministry of Law of Justice, that you sworn before the people of the United States that you will protect us. And you filed that ecclesiastic rules of the law. So therefore, every one of you people in Congress and all you elected officials should be held accountable for malfeasance, malviolence, obstruction of law, and you should be sent to prison for what you did to American Native peoples and the peoples of this land that did not deserve your malfeasance.
Well, all right, let me respond to that. I agree, all right, that there's a lot of things that need to be changed. Absolutely. And you see, unfortunately, we have bad people in the government, and I don't care whether you're Republican like I am. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Republican. I believe in the Republic, and or whether you're a Democrat or what you are. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And yes, the Americans, or I shouldn't say the Americans, the Native Americans, the Indians were here first, for God's sake. And we can go all the way back. And what was done, taking over this and taking over that and doing this and doing that, that's not right. No. I agree with you. And then also, too, with slavery, that was completely wrong. You don't go over to another country and drag people on a boat and take them over to here and use them as slaves. You don't do that. That's wrong. What happened during the time with Hitler All right, that was in Germany, but it spilled over to our country. Our country went over to help fight that war. That was towards the end of the war. That was disgusting. That shouldn't have happened. If you go into an antique shop and you buy a lamp, and the lamp is from the 30s, do you realize that many times as those lampshades are made from the skins of a Jew? Now, I learned that because I'm a history buff. Also, I happened to marry a Jewish man. I'm Catholic, but he was Jewish. He's deceased. He died 5 years ago. But I hear the stories because we hear all these stories as we grow up, all these things. Now, I think there's a lot that can be done to improve this country. But I have to say one thing. What's going on now is not improving it. It's bringing it down. If you look back, I don't know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this country was doing a lot better than it is now. Now we've got looting all over the streets. We've got, what example is that for our children? They see, you know, like in New York City, okay, going to the jewelry shops. I'm a jewelry buff, so I'm glad I mentioned jewelry. That comes to my brain first. And they're grabbing all of the fine jewelry, or they're going and they're getting their Nikes, they're getting this, they're getting that in other stores, and nothing is really happening. But we have to have law and order. We do have to have that. But we also have to have fair. We have to, people should all be, you know, as long as they behave well. And when I say that, I mean, I don't care what color you are, white, black, American Indian, green, orange, purple. I don't care what you are. Like, for instance, I have friends of all different nationalities. And I go by how a person treats me, not from where they came from, okay? That's the way I am. I have a lot of fun with some of my friends. Now, my point in all of this is that we have to have justice in our country. We have to have a format, absolutely. It is not socialized medicine. I want to get that straight. My stepfather was in Denmark, and he ran to this country because he was told he needed an operation. And instead of telling him, giving him a date with socialized medicine, they gave him a number, like when you go into a meat market, okay? You go into a meat market, and I think it was number 128. And if he didn't get that operation right away, you know what would happen? He would have died. So he came to our country. Now, you have to admit that our country does have a lot of good things about it, too. He got his operation, and he never left. He never went back home. And he was a very successful businessman. So you see, there's good and bad in every country, and there's good and bad in any people. I don't care what race it is or whatever. It means nothing to me. And even religions. It means nothing to me. So what we have to do as a people, we have to have certain rules and regulations, because if our kids don't have rules and regulations, look at how they're behaving. Look at how they are out on the street. Think about the homes that they came from. Maybe they're being abused, all right? And they get out. And this doesn't, for the kids that come from the so-called proper homes, if you want to word it that way, proper homes, what kind of example are those kids that are going in? And what is it, $950 they're allowed to steal? That's not considered grand larceny, right? And they don't even go to jail, really. They might go in for a few hours and then they're out again. This is crazy. So we can't have that either. We have to find a way to live our country the proper way, to have rules and regulations. We have to have good police, absolutely. You have good and bad. There's good and bad in any institution. And I found that out because I have worked so many different places, and that's why I ended up becoming a landlady. I had quit social services and became a landlady. So, you know, I saw things that I didn't like. So you have to have, you know, good values. You have to teach your children well. And we have to treat each other well. And we should all have the same rights. I agree with that. Absolutely. So we don't speak too much about politics on this show because this is not a political show. I just happen to have a big mouth about politics because, quite frankly, my so-called grandfather was mayor at one time in Westwood, New Jersey. I didn't know at that time he wasn't my true grandfather. I looked at him as my grandfather. And I heard all this stuff at the dinner table. All we have great big parties and everything. And a lot of times politics came up. And, yes, there's good and there's bad in everything. And quite frankly, we're such an imperfect people, all of us. No matter what your backgrounds are, we make terrible mistakes. And those people that are in the government, there's a lot of them making terrible mistakes. All right? And that's why there's all this terrible commotion out on the streets right now. Because these kids have been given, and some of them aren't just kids, a lot of them are in their 20s, 30s. It's kind of hard to tell because they have their own masks on and everything, right? But you can tell that they're youngish. And, you know, they don't have, they didn't come from a good background. And they've been given, you know, a green light to go and do whatever they want to do. And that's what they're doing. Look at all the people that are getting shot. I grew up with a family, Elizabeth, my family were hunters on one side. So I grew up with guns. There was never a gun incident in my family. See, I'm more worried about who's pulling the trigger than having the actual weapon, because anything can be a weapon. You can take a beer bottle, you know this, it's only common sense, and smash it, and that can be a weapon, right? You can use a knife, or you can use a gun. There's a lot of ways to use, there's all kinds of things that are weapons. It's the person that uses the weapon. That's the problem. So, again, I don't want to get into the politics. We've got to go back to child abuse. And the way that we're brought up as children, okay, the way that we're brought up many times, of course, does affect the type of people that we become. That's true. So if we're brought up in a family where there is nothing but violence and there's no order and there's no respect, okay, respect for each other, then you're going to have a family that's totally dysfunctional. And so unfortunately, there's an awful lot of that. There's 43 million women and 38 million men experience psychological aggression by their intimate partner. Now, I was shocked to hear that it was 38 million men, to be honest with you. Because when you hear of a family that's falling apart, you almost always blame the men, right? And there are more women, yes. But the men are not that far behind who are being psychologically abused by their intimate partner. I was shocked to hear that. 41% of female survivors and 14% of male survivors experience physical harm.
Boarding schools.
What are you saying? I can't hear her.
Boarding schools.
43 million women and 38 million men experience psychological aggression by the intimate partner. I know that's blowing your mind. But I will say one thing. I lived across the street from this psycho lady who had a husband who was evidently scared to death of her. They had 5 children. All right. And the children were scared to death of her, too. My thought is she was some kind of a nut. And at nighttime, he would go out on their porch. They had a glassed-in porch. And he would take the broom and sweep, 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 and talk to the broom. Sometimes he'd go out into the car if it wasn't too cold out and sleep in the car to get away from her. And you could hear the kids being beaten inside. Now, I called the cops. The cops had worked with them quite a bit. And they got a hold of agencies. Here we go. Like Dyfus, I'll just use that as an example. CPS. I happen to have a good CPS worker in my life to help me. But, you know, agencies are not always what they're supposed to be. These are kids that should have been, you know, taken away. Really, truly. They should have been taken away. So when you hear things like that, all right, I know it's hard to listen to, but that's the truth. Now, Annie, would you think that there are 38 million men experiencing psychological aggression by the intimate partner? Would you think that?
Psychological aggression, yeah, I could see that. I wouldn't mm-hmm. think physical aggression would be that common, but psychological aggression, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see it, too, because I lived across from it. Awful. So I had like a bird's eye view of it, okay? Now, Elizabeth has dropped off, and I think it's probably because she has a lot of issues where she has issues with, you know, what happened in the past and so forth. And she doesn't want to believe, a lot of people don't want to believe that, you know, that men can be psychologically abused too. It's just like a lot of people don't want to believe that that little boys are sexually abused, or they just think, again, that they should man up. And it just doesn't work that way. I had trouble hearing what she said at the end. She wasn't coming through. But I think she was going, no, not true. We don't know what her past is or anything else. We don't know what kind of life she had. But I think it was probably pretty rough, all right. And I think that that probably blew her mind to even hear that. But unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
It says here it's also important to acknowledge that intimate personal relationships, you know, can result in death. Now,
yes,
with all, mm-hmm. yeah, with all the things that are going on right now in our world, a lot of times, you know, women will stay in an abusive relationship, usually longer than that, I'm sure. And take all of that, and then what happens? They end up not making it. They just simply end up not making it. And, you know, we tell people, I always try to give them, make a kit. And in that kit have a duplicate driver's license, put money aside, put important papers aside, have a set of keys to the house and to the car. Have those things made, anything that's of importance, and hide it where you know it's going to be safe. The best thing to do is to get out of that relationship. That's the best thing to do. But until you can, because a lot of times women, Annie, you know, women many times don't make nearly as much money as a man. We know this.
Yes.
And, yeah. So in the meantime, until you can get yourself together, or you can go to a shelter. The shelters today are quite a bit better, although they're much overloaded right now. They are. So I think it's a good thing for women to defend themselves by having a kit. If they have children, have mm-hmm. their birth certificates, you know, all the important papers, all that stuff. And then take off when you can, you know, and rather than to stay there. Or you become another one of these statistics that I'm reading here. This stuff comes from the Justice Department. It comes from the CDC. It comes from all different, sometimes psychology today. So, you know, the things that I give forth is information from organizations that know their stuff because they take the data and they put it together. That's what they do. In fact, here it says right here, data from the U.S. crime reports suggests that approximately 16%, that's one in six, of homicides are killed by an intimate partner. So one in six.
Wow.
Is by yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. The CDC reports 1 in 7 children have experienced child abuse, and that was in 2019, so that's not too long ago. 1 in 7. And nearly 1,770 children died of abuse or neglect in the United States. That's just in the United States alone. So you see,
wow.
My point in bringing this forth is to show people we do have to have order in our homes. We do have to have order in our streets. We do otherwise, this is what it's turned into. If you look at the news today, what do you see? I don't know if you watch the news or not, but of course I'd be one that would. Okay. So I see all of these things. And on nights like this, I just like to, bring forth information that people are not aware of so that they can learn just like I've learned, all right? Substance abuse and mental health services administration, everything has gone way up. There's a lot more suicides and so forth around Christmas time. And with those of us who have been so horribly abused, what do we get? We get the blues, right? So many times.
Right.
Yeah. And that's something that we have to, what would you do? I mean, I don't know if you get blue at this time of the year, do you?
A little bit, but I'd have to say in general, I'm pretty happy. I have sad memories
I think you
that
are
come
too.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm
like that.
Happy
I like
today.
That you're a happy person. No, really, you make me smile. You make my heart smile. You're like Annie Sunshine, and we need that in our world today. Yeah, you are. You're like Annie Sunshine. There you go. And it's we don't have enough of sunshine in our lives. So therefore, because we don't have enough sunshine in our lives. We have to be creative. Now, I know that you said the other day that you like gardening. You had come forth with that list. Did Bill ever post that? I don't know if he did or not.
I don't think I sent it to him, but I still have it right here on my desk.
Why don't
you?
Okay, I'm going to use that because I'll tell you why. People need direction in life, Annie. They absolutely do. And when you're in a rut, a lot of times you don't know how to get yourselves out of that rut. I get phone calls, you know this, in the AM, and a lot of times these people are in ruts, and it's very hard to explain to them that they can't move forward if they don't get out of the rut that they're in. I don't like people wallowing in the rut that they're in, okay, because they can't grow that way. But you have that mm-hmm. list, and I wanted Bill to post that because I thought it was uplifting. And I think this time of the year...
I will type it up tonight.
All right, type it up. But can you read it right now? Can you go over that list? I think there's something...
I'd be glad to. Yeah.
Yes, please do, because I like that list. That's why I want it posted. Go ahead.
Okay, so our topic that day was how to have positivity in our lives and keep ourselves happy. So I write my affirmations every day. Every morning I write affirmations and positive affirmations. I get dressed up every day and I put on makeup and jewelry and I just make myself feel like a real person. Even though if nobody's going to see me, doesn't matter. I'll see me. And it makes me feel, okay, I'm a real person. I can go out there and do anything. I'm equal to everyone. It just gives me a lot of self-esteem to be dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I do is sing. I sing along to the radio. And I sing also, I love to sing. It's so good for us because we breathe deeply. And that's really good for our mood. And I crochet. I love to crochet. I find that so soothing. I love to garden. I have a pretty flower garden, and I spend a lot of time out there. Even if I'm not gardening, I'm sitting out in the garden because I'm in Los Angeles, and the weather's always pretty nice, so I'm outside every day. And I pamper myself by letting myself have nice things or go nice places. And I never used to do that. I was on the strict diet of, no, you can't have nice things. No, you can't go anywhere. You don't deserve it, all of that. And today, no, I pamper myself because I do deserve it. And then the last thing on my list was to talk to fellow survivors every day. I do that. And it keeps me focused, and it keeps me happy. I share my progress, my happiness, and they share theirs. And that's my list. That's my little
list. That's good, though, you see, because what you're doing is you're showing people, you know, first of all, we can make ourselves miserable. Okay, we know how to do that well. You know, but learning how to make ourselves happy or content, all right, whatever, is sometimes we have to work on that, you know, and it's giving people direction and you know, hope, like gardening. Now, you would think me coming from a family, a very wealthy family, that we're flower growers, and, you know, when you grow flowers for a living, you either make it or you don't make it. There's nothing in the middle, and they were very, very, very wealthy, and they did fine. So I was around flowers all my life, and you would think that I would love flowers, but I think I got tired of flowers, okay, because, and they didn't treat me well, Annie, at all, okay, so somehow, I mean, I like to look at flowers, don't get me wrong, but I would never go gardening, I would never garden, because to me it brings back bad memories, but there are people out there who live in, you know, nice warm climates like you do. And it's like 30 degrees here right now. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my.
But,
yeah.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get down to 19 pretty soon. But anyway, the point is, the point is that gardening is a very good thing to do. Because I do know that with my stepfather, he, you know, would be so at peace. I used to watch him. He didn't know I was watching him. We never spoke, he and I, hardly at all. And I wanted to have a relationship with him, but he was too bashful around me. It's kind of weird. I don't know, whatever. But I knew he was a good man, okay? But I could see so much peace in his face in the work that he did, you know, with the gardening. So I can identify with that because I used to watch him. So that would be calming, and that's good. That's good. Okay, so then you mentioned crocheting. I had an aunt that was a, my God, she could make beautiful, beautiful blankets. And even though she wore glasses that were as thick as Coke bottles, I swear to God, that's what they were back then. they didn't have the glasses that we have today. So the lens were, she was almost blind. But she would sit and she would crochet and make beautiful blankets, she'd make doilies, she'd make things, you know, in the old days, they used to put lace on top of the chairs, you know, as decoration or something. She'd make those.
Yes.
Yeah, and all kinds of stuff. And she would have, like, a look of peace and tranquility on her face and also self-satisfaction because by the time she was done making a blanket or whatever it was, look what she had, you know, she did something. And so I think that's calming, and also I think creativity is also good for the soul, okay, because look, this is what I've done. Look what I created, look how pretty, okay, even if you don't say it out loud, that's how you're thinking. And so what was the other things on your list? There was one up above that. There's actually eight more up above
singing?
That. What was that again? Oh, singing. Oh, my
day?
God. I love to sing. Yes. And
yeah.
I like the 70s music. Okay, I like the Eagles, and I like some of the others. And I got into Queen, too, at other different times. I used to love the Beatles, the kids and I. You know, I had my children. I had my son at the age of 19, and my daughter was, I guess I was about 22 when I had her. But we grew up with the Beatles, and we had so much fun singing. And my son plays a wonderful guitar if he's left alone, and he can play. I mean, he played heavy metal. He played, you know, all different kinds of things. Anything you want him to play, he could play. He played by ear. And then he learned to play by
wow.
music, too. Yeah, he's quite good. What you see on the show a lot of times, or what you see him in videos, is not my Davy that I grew up with, because I say grew up with. I felt like I grew up with my kids, okay? And
right.
Because he's so diversified in what he can play. But anyway, okay, singing is a wonderful thing. It's a good release. Hey, even if you're a person that has a, you know, not a very good voice, it doesn't matter. It's making your soul happy, okay?
Yes.
I love to sing.
And
I
sing with
go ahead.
I sing with the choir. I sing with the choir
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And the vibration
right?
inside my body is so beautiful. And the camaraderie, there's just something about it, making music together.
That's right.
It's different from other relationships, you know?
It's very true. Now, we're a family of musicians, and I sang in New York City, and I did that for some years. I didn't have to worry about where I was going to sing. I had a talent scout. We had a limo.
Wow.
I didn't have a limo. He had a limo. Yeah. His name was Thomas Truelove, but I don't think you're lost anymore. That's what he went by, Thomas Truelove. And then... there were five of us, and I called us the Fab Five because I didn't know what else to call us. Okay. So he would prearrange ahead of time where we were going to sing, and we were background singers, and then sometimes he'd pull me out in the front. Well, Miss Panic Child didn't like that. Oh, no, honey. Okay. Like, I was fine when I was with my group, okay, but he was asking me to do solo. Oh, no. So I'd grab a beer, even though I wasn't old enough, and I'd go glug, 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 and I'd hope that I remembered the words. You know, just get me out here. You know, that's just the way it was. So, but that's all right. I did okay. I did well. And we'd make, you know, $50 a pop. That was good. In those days, that was good. So, singing, and I do that today. I don't know what my neighbors think, and I don't care, you know. But I'll turn on Alexa, and I'll say, Alexa, play so-and-so, like Lion Eyes. I love that song. That's by the Eagles. And I'll sing it at 2 o'clock in the morning because, honey, I'm still up, aren't I? So they probably hear me. You know, I don't care. So far, no one's complained, all right? So I guess I'm doing all right, you know. So, but that gives you, you know, it makes you feel so good in your spirit. I understand that. So, but whether you sing well or whether you don't sing well or whether you're a dancer or you're not a dancer, whatever it is that you can do, or if you're an artist, whatever gives you peace and or makes you feel happy, you know, this is something that you have to find within yourself. And you do find it within yourself if you come to the point of healing where you're getting over feeling bad about yourself, okay? You start realizing, hey, you know, I do have good qualities. I am able to do this. I am able to do that. Many times you don't realize that until you do get some kind of help from somewhere, okay? And we're supposed to say this too, Annie. Those that go out and find therapists, make sure that they understand child abuse, okay?
Yeah.
They have to understand child abuse because a lot of them didn't walk in our shoes. they really don't know how we feel inside. They know what the textbooks say. I know what they say too, you know. And
right.
You know, or they go on the internet right here. But look, if you haven't, like I said, I think it was last night, if you haven't walked the walk, how can you talk the talk? All right? Really, to understand
right.
it, to believe it, and to talk it. So if you can, you know, there's nothing wrong with doctor shopping. In that way, you find yourself a really good therapist who has maybe someone in their family who's been abused, or maybe they've been abused, whatever the situation might be, and you'll get better help. It'll be faster, too, okay? Because they know how to talk
mm-hmm.
to you, right? So
yeah.
once you get to the point where, you know, where you get to that point where you start saying, hey, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. I know how to sew. I'll sit and I'll sew. That makes me happy. With me, I would go out and run because, like I said earlier, I was a runner. I wanted to get rid of all that pent-up hate because, quite frankly, Andy, I had so much hatred in me. This one did that one did this one did that, you know. And I had to do something with it because I couldn't go out and kill them, you know. What am I going to do with them, you know? So,
we're not allowed.
No. They felt like they killed my soul, though, okay? We who have been
right.
sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally abused and neglected, any one of those or all of those, it certainly does ruin us, you know, until we're able to get out of that rut. So for me,
yes.
I found sports. Yeah, that was the first thing I found was sports.
Mm-hmm.
I started to play the piano and sing when I was 4 years old. Four.
Nice.
I was one of those kids. My mother
mm-hmm.
would take me to the Hudson River. There was a nice place there. Again, most of us are from New York and my family. So anyway, she had me singing adult songs. Now, when I say adult songs, I don't mean dirty songs. I don't mean that. I mean,
oh, good.
You know, I'm going to clarify that. I don't mean like, it's almost like Mickey Mouse and things like that. No. I had to learn songs that she liked. And now a little four-year-old is standing up there singing Harbor Lights. I didn't know what Harbor Lights were. I'm 4 years old. You know what I'm saying? But because I was, because I was 4 years old, and my mother put this dress on me. It was the only one dress I had, I swear to God. Me, the wealthy girl. Hmm? Like the shoemaker whose kids have hole in their shoes, all right? All right. So she would put this dress on me that looked like a lampshade, I swear to God. Now, I guess I wasn't a stupid four-year-old. I knew the dress looked stupid, but at 4 years old, you don't have any say, do you? So anyway, I'd get up there, and I would perform, and the people, they loved me. And actually, she did me a service. It was for her glory, in a sense. Look what I have. Look at my daughter. Look what she can do, you know. But on the other hand, it was teaching me to get up in front of people. And I'm going to tell you something about people who have panic attacks and panic disorder, which is what I turned into, is panic disorder, where it actually rules your life, where you end up taking a flask like I used to with me. So, because I couldn't stand people either, social. You mentioned social before. Yeah. Like being in front of my peers, doing book reports, even though I wrote it well, I didn't want to read my book report in front of my peers because I didn't like me, okay? So I would go into the ladies' room, and I'd go glug, glug, glug. That was my crutch. And then I'd get an A on my report. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So you see, but when I'm up on a stage, and they found this out with quite a few movie stars as well, they suffer from panic attacks. And
mm-hmm.
But when you're up on the stage, you're not playing yourself. It's not you up there. It's who you become. And this just shows you a little bit something about the mind, the way that it works. In high school, I was in drama, and I loved being up on the stage. Me, who, you know, had panic disorder, because, you see, it wasn't really me up on that stage. It was the person that I was portraying. You know, we'd put on plays for the school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a little tidbit there. If you have panic disorder and you're really into being a drama queen like I was, and being dramatic, getting up there and wanting to be in shows and stuff like that, you somehow forget that you're scared because you're so busy playing that other person. Now, that's a strange thing. That's a strange thing. So there are things that would trigger me, though, Annie. I didn't like people really looking at me when I wasn't up on the stage. I mean, just normally speaking. When I was in the city pool in New York when I lived in Staten Island, I was about 9 years old, and this guy was looking at me with so much hate. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't know him, Annie. I never saw him before in my life. And that was the beginning of my panic attacks. I was very, very frightened. Okay.
Mm.
And I'd gone with a friend. She was 9 also. In those days, you could take the city bus. People wouldn't think about what we go through today, what we talk about today. I said, I want to go home. I want to go home. Because I knew that something was very wrong with me, but I didn't know what it was. My heart was pounding. I was sweating, all this other stuff, whatever. What you go through with panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us that, you know, have social, you know, disorders, and it leads into panic and can lead into agoraphobia, although now they're saying that that's not always true. You know, you can have that without the other. That's what they're saying now. Well, I don't know. I have to think about it. But, you know, the point is that we end up going through all of this horrible dysfunction in our lives, and we don't know how to get out of it many times until we learn that we do have talents. We learn, like what you're showing here, how to be calm, how to find things that make us happy. So you have, so far now, we've spoken about your gardening. We've spoken about your crocheting. What are the things? And the music, of course. Oh, my God, the music. What other things do you have on the list? Yeah. What else do you have on that list?
I get dressed up every day. I wear nice clothes and jewelry and accessories, and I have makeup on and perfume. And I feel good about myself when I do that. If I don't do that,
I like that,
I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to look in the mirror.
Well, yeah, I'm 65, and I'm quite wrinkled now, and I prefer my face with a little lipstick on it. I just think it looks better.
Let me tell you something about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, I don't have many wrinkles on my face. People never take me for my age. However, I guess I had some good bloodlines coming from somewhere, huh? I don't know. Ancestry tells me I'm Italian, I'm French, I'm Swiss. Those three countries, they go right together. And German. My mother was German.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have too many wrinkles either. It's just, I don't know. I think it's hereditary. I don't know. Whatever. But still, if I don't have, excuse me, if I don't have my lipstick on, if I don't have my cat eyes on, as I call them, and some foundation, you know, and a little bit of mascara, then I don't feel like I'm together either. I don't want to look in the mirror. I want my face to look a certain way. And I don't care whether it's in fashion or not to wear makeup or not.
It's our face.
So you understand that.
We can do it if we want to. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think I do, too. I don't wear foundation because it settles into the wrinkles. Makes them worse.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
Okay. I just live with it. I like it. I'm not ashamed of my wrinkles. I earned them.
Hey, that's exactly, you know, isn't that funny? I was thinking about that the other day. Whatever wrinkles I have, I earned them too. And I probably should have a heck of a lot more. Whoa. Whoa. But then too, with the, you mentioned your hair looking a certain way and earrings and jewelry. That's what you said.
Yeah.
There isn't a day that goes by that I don't have jewelry on. I have to have my jewelry. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel better. Every finger, except for my thumb, has a ring. Okay.
Wow.
I think that came from the 70s. I never got out of it. I don't care. I don't really care. I've gotten to the point in my life where I don't really care what other people think about me. It's more important what I think about me. I've learned that. And I think that's important for a lot of people to sort of like look at, because at one time, years ago, I was a people pleaser. Sure, I still give to people and things like that today, but I do it for a different reason. I do it because one thing my mother and I had in common was that she taught me always to be generous, because we could. And so, therefore, I never lost that, and it gives me a good feeling also to know that I was able to help someone, okay? So that's one reason why when I can, I you know, will help someone when I can. So, you know, I've learned that about myself. Now, you know, I don't bend over backwards anymore, because, you know, people are either going to like you for your genuine self, or they're not.
Right.
And so I've gotten to the point, it took me a lot of years there, honey, because I'm older than you, but it took me, you know, time to realize that I have to learn to truly accept myself, love myself, and not really care too much about what other people think about me, because this is who I am. That's all.
I know a beautiful quote that I have on the bathroom wall. It says, "You can travel the world over and look high and low, and you will never find anyone as worthy of your love and affection as you are yourself."
There you go. That's beautiful. Now, you see, things
isn't
like
that
you should send them in. Yes. Things like that, you should send them in. Absolutely. When you come across quotes and what you, the 10 things that you brought together, that I don't know exactly what you'd call that, but it's getting people out of their rut. It's a direction.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's what it is. It's direction. Things like that, people need to hear. They really do.
Yeah.
They need to hear that. And because, again, not to go into politics, because I certainly don't want to sound like our friend there did, and I think that's why she got upset. Because she has her set ways. That's okay. So, but we're not that way. But what I'm saying here on the show here, it's good to talk heavy duty politics, but not on the show. You can't, you know. And she was really into things that went too far that we don't speak about. This is about child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
What happens to us as children, and if we don't get help, you know, what can happen to us as adults? That's why I was trying to give her ideas as to why the kids, well, why do you think the kids are acting this way? It's because of from where they came, okay? And then certainly there have been injustices done to certain, you know, cultures. There's no denying that. But today is today. It's 2021, okay? And I don't want our country to regress and go backwards from when we've moved forwards. People have rights. We did have rights, all right? Things are changing now because of who's in administration. I'm not going to say any more than that, okay? But I don't want to go back to that time. Yes, we had Obama as a president and all this other stuff, People have their rights. It's not like it was. Things are so much better. And I want to get back to that time. I want to get back to that, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's politically speaking. Now, no more, you know, spewing all kinds of hatred. As long as our world is filled with hatred, we need Annie big time. Okay? because what you do, and you have a little talent there, yes, you do, is to help guide people to make them think, well, gee, what does make me happy? What can I do to make myself happy? You know, and it gives a person much more love for themselves and makes them to look forward instead of backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We can't change the past, whether it be in child abuse or anything else, but we can change the future if we make our present, which is what we're in right now, a good thing. Yeah.
Yes.
So anytime you come up with those little quotes that you just came out with, you can send them along. Absolutely.
Okay, I will. I really like that one. That's why it's on my wall. Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful thing that you just said, you know, and I can see why you'd have that on your wall. Do you know if the show is over?
It is?
Uh-huh. I think we have, like, 2 minutes left. I haven't gotten the 90-second cue yet. Yeah, but it's going to come up momentarily. So, all right, our guest in show, that's unusual for Trish, okay, and I'm hoping that she's okay. All right, that's my fear there. We spoke about so many different things. And, you know, when it comes to child abuse, yeah, unfortunately, there is so much to talk about. That's why you never really run out of, you know, things to talk about. I try to integrate into the show when I run it, you know, if it's going to be a show like tonight, you know, some stats that I know they're solid. I know that they're solid and so forth. And to help educate, we have to educate our children how to stay safer. People, for God's sake, go to the website, naasca.org, nasca.org, and look under prevention intervention. I think that's where it's under, on the front page there. Open up the links. Go to the links, and it'll teach you how to speak to your children so that they'll stay safer, what to look out for, the red flags, as we call them, and how to, as parents, first of all, get over your embarrassment. And, you know, start teaching them at an early age about their body and you know, their body parts. Sometimes when, you know, as a little kid, and I didn't know what to call this and I didn't know what to call that. I had no names for it. For God's sake, educate your children, because we do have a head, we do have shoulders, we do have a breast, and if you're a boy, you have a penis and knees and feet. And say it all in the same tone. In the same tone. Because they're all just body parts, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I want people to educate their children better. Go to the website, naasca.org, nasca.org. And you'll learn an awful lot from that website. I'm proud of our website. So we're going down to the 60-second cue. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight, Annie. And, you know, you were a wonderful help. And
thank you.
It was
my pleasure.
Well, it was my pleasure to have you. And you're doing fine, by the way. And you have a good speaking voice. And I think pretty soon you'll be able to go a little bit further than what you're doing now, even. Maybe host when you're ready.
All right. When I'm ready.
So
when
keep
I'm
it
trained.
In mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
sweetie. So thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I've got to shut this down. And I hope people out there that you learned something tonight. Good night. God bless you. And watch out for your back. And watch out for your neighbor's back, too. Okay. Good night now.
Night.
Good night, honey. Thank you again.
After all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.